Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm glad you joined me today for the broadcast as we continue a message I began yesterday, The Righteous Perish. And I shared quite a bit of scripture in Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, and there God was speaking to the unfaithful and unrighteous prophets and ministers who were over the people, that were supposed to be instructing them in spiritual understanding and the ways of God. And then I shared from Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and there God is speaking not to just to leaders, He's speaking to the people. And as I shared yesterday, whatever God speaks to, when we see the Old Testament and there's the Lord is saying something, He hasn't changed. He's the same God in the New Testament. His character, His holiness, His righteousness has not changed. Yes, they were different covenants. God is dealing differently. Mercy and grace came with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, that does not mean that He is not a holy God and that He will not look upon evil. He will not tolerate sin. That was the whole point of banishment from the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And thank God it was through Jesus Christ. And only when that happened, He was the perfect sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. All those who believe on Him, His righteousness is imputed to us, our sins are forgiven, and we become a new creature in Him. That's what it means to be born again. But anyway, going back to Isaiah, the Lord is speaking prophetically through the prophet, and he says, "Behold, ye fast," the Lord is answering them, like, why are you doing this, Lord? Why are you treating us this way? Why don't you respond? And He says, "Ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." And He said, "Is such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord?" And of course, He's saying they were just going through the motions. They were going through spiritual practices, if you will. Their heart was not in it. They weren't right before God. And then in the following verses, He said, "Is not this the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry?" So because mankind's heart has not changed, the words that He speaks in under the old covenant are just as applicable as far as righteous behavior before the Lord as was spoken then. And let me share some scriptures from Ephesians, the second chapter, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way we were. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the precious blood. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, in Christ, ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And then in 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5, the apostle says, "To whom, coming as unto a living stone," that's what we did, "disallowed indeed of man," right? He came to his own received him not. So many through the centuries have just put Him of no importance, of no repute. They didn't understand who you said He was. And are built up a spiritual house. That's what He's doing, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to by God, to God by Jesus Christ. And so, as we look at why did Jesus come, this is very important. And let's just take a quick turn to the book of Mark. And again, Jesus always had to deal with the self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers and the lawyers. And in the second chapter, it says in verse 15, Jesus came, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And look at the reaction of the religious bunch. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eat and drinketh with publicans and sinners? You see, as far as their lifestyle and practice, it would be defiling to even be with people like that. He hung around with prostitutes. I mean, how bad is that? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so this is what Jesus came to do. And by that statement, he is implying that those who don't know him, the sinners, the publicans, they were sick. They needed spiritual healing. They may not have been physically sick, but surely they were spiritually sick. And he came to bring the good news. Hallelujah. Which is, as it was recorded by the angels, on the night Jesus was born, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That is God's heart. He's never hidden his motives from coming, either in the Word of God, in terms of the heart of our Father, or in Jesus. He was very outspoken, very forthright, very direct. And so that's what God wants to do in these days. He wants to save sinners. And of course, you know, we know from the Word of God, there are those that are good seed, and those are those who are children of the devil. And only God knows the difference. He's going to let the wheat and the tares grow up until the end time, until the last time when the angels are going to gather his elect. And so remember that parable when Jesus said, the disciples said, the parable was that the workers saw that there was bad seed, there were tares, and they said, oh, should we pull it up? And Jesus said, no, lest you pull up the wheat. At the end, when harvest comes, then that separation will occur. But there are needs in our lives, and there are many who are good seed and they don't know the Lord. They've never heard the gospel preached. God's hand is on them. We can't understand the divine election of God, but in his foreknowledge, he knows them that will come to him and serve him. That's why Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those whom you have given me, and Father, I've not lost one. Praise God. And so here's some, I'm just giving you a lot of scripture. Here's Psalm 34, 6, 15, and 17. This poor man cried. Do you remember ever doing that? Amen. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. All of their troubles. Psalm 140:9-45-19 says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Isaiah 30:19 declares, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And even among some Christians, they may have repented. You know, they've turned from their sin. They're trying to live a Christian life. But there's two aspects to repentance. One is to actually turn away, 180-degree turn from the sins and the lifestyle of your past. And then there's faith, to believe that God said what he meant. Without faith, it's impossible to believe without faith, it's impossible to draw near to God. Who comes near to God must know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then, because the word tells us our sins are forgiven, and many times people feel, what I've done is so bad. I don't feel forgiven. I don't feel that the Lord has wiped away my sins. And they're caught up in feeling rather than faith. And so, why did God speak that way? Because why does he just repeat things over and over in the Word? And even in terms of sermons, you may have heard that, I don't know how many times before. However, it's because we are changing and growing in our spiritual life that it impacts us at that time, where it didn't before. We weren't mature enough to hear it or grasp it. We're just slow, beloved. I don't know about you, but I'll be the first to declare it. I've been pretty slow on grasping some of the deeper spiritual understandings and comprehensions from the Word of God. And so, Matthew 21 and 22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." So, if we have repented of our sins, then we have to believe God has answered that prayer. He has forgiven us to the uttermost. This message that Jesus Christ has given to us, the body of Christ, to declare into the highways and byways around the world, into all nations, is the greatest message that has ever been given, that's ever been preached. Every minister, every philosopher, teacher, scientist, man or woman that will listen and hear and experience this wonderful message, they will be assured of their own success in Jesus Christ, and also assure the success of all those around them in the ministry of the Word of God. Why, beloved, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and his gospel is the kingdom of God. Well, my time has just flown, and I'm not making much headway. There's so much more to share, but I just want to obey God and speak as God gives me the words to share with you. So, having said that, I bring this broadcast to a conclusion with my love and deep affection, and I want you to know the knowledge of my prayers for you, UCM partners, as well as those of my radio family. I pray for you every day. And should the Lord move on you, he may be moving on you and with a reason to write and share your prayer needs or where you're at spiritually. Or if you're being blessed by the broadcast, the announcer will give our contact information. And let me say, if you email, I will confirm receipt. I will pray. But if you would like a letter of ministry, I ask you to share your mailing address so I can respond in greater depth. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.